talk about long labors. This is a topic that comes up at every interview. If people have already had a previous child, it comes up when they're telling me about their birth, their last birth history, their birth story. It comes up when we're talking about how to prepare for birth with our first-time families. So these long labors, so you've all heard it and maybe have experienced it yourself. I certainly experienced it with my first. And it's those stories of like, I was in labor for 48 hours. I was in labor for 72 hours. I never got past 5 centimeters. I never got past 8 centimeters. I pushed and pushed and pushed, and I had a C-section because I couldn't get the baby out. Right? Those are stories that we hear a lot. And they're all very similar. Okay, so a very typical story is, my first birth story. I started labor, I contracted through the night, I was awake all night, they were so strong, then they spaced out during the day, but they never went away, and then they picked up again at night, so now I'm on my second night of no sleep, and then I finally go in, or the midwives come to the house, or I go to the birth center, and I'm only... how many centimeters? I'm only 4, or I am only 5, or I'm 2, right? And the number one reason people have that long early labor, and we'll go over again with our little dilation chart, and I'm going to show you some positions with our pelvis and our baby. But what we call that pattern is prodromal, a prodromal labor pattern. And that is a long early labor pattern. And so remember, this is an example of cervical dilation, right? So this is 1 centimeter. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1 to 6 is dilation from 1 centimeter to 6 centimeters is early labor. From 6 centimeters to 10 centimeters is active labor, right? So the longest part of labor, and we talk about this often, especially we do these midwife Mondays and we talk about it, but remembering early labor is 0 to 6 centimeters. So if this baby is not well positioned in the pelvis, we will have that prodromal labor pattern, right? Because what's happening is not that you're not having adequate contractions. It's not that your body isn't working. It's not that there's something wrong. It's just that this baby generally, our biggest guess when we have that prodromal labor pattern, what we know actually to be true, it's not a guess, is that the baby is coming in on the laboring person's right side. And what happens in all of that early labor is this baby, so it starts on the right side and then it rotates around, baby rotates around to the left side, now can come into the pelvis, rotate anterior, come through, la 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 la, then the shoulders restitute, and then the anterior shoulder comes out, and then the posterior shoulder comes out, and the baby comes out onto your body, right? So what's happening in early labor, and this is really an issue for our first-time mothers. That's the biggest issue, is our first-time moms, because you've never had labor before. You have no perspective for how much stronger the contractions are gonna get. People around you might have a lot of anxiety about, oh my gosh, you have to go to the hospital. It's time to go. You have to get to the birth center. You need to call the midwives to come. And you're paying attention. The biggest problem is you start paying attention to these contractions when it's still really, really early, okay? So from 1, 2, 3 centimeters, you might be having contractions every 5 minutes or more, lasting 30 seconds to a minute. So it's very typical for me to get a call in the middle of the night from a first-time mom that says, oh my gosh, I've been up since 10 p.m. I'm having contractions every 5 minutes or every 4 minutes, and they're lasting 2 minutes and they're just not stopping. Well, first of all, they're never going to last 2 minutes, right? Contraction doesn't last 2 minutes. 45 seconds, 50 seconds, max 60 seconds. And that's when you're like way at the end. We have these big, long contractions. But if they are 5 minutes apart or more, they're never going to be lasting the contraction part more than 30 seconds. The perception, the feeling in your body is that these contractions are not stopping, because what's happening is the baby's trying to come into the pelvis, right? In that lovely fetal position, right? We always imagine babies are all tucked up when they're born and they're all balled up like that, right? And they're upside down because that's how they are inside your belly. So they're all tucked up in that nice fetal position, ideally, and their chin is tucked towards their chest. Sometimes, and ideally, right, head down, chin to chest, baby's back on mom's left side. And that's an ideal position. And those are the moms that are like, oh my gosh, my labor was so great. I only had a 6-hour labor. I had a 12-hour labor. It wasn't so bad. I mean, it hurt, but it wasn't so bad. No, I didn't have those 3 days of labor. I don't know what that is. It's because those babies were already on the left side. And so once they're already on the left side, they just have to make the rotation anteriorly. So they come in on the left side, and as the contractions are happening, they rotate anteriorly and then they come through. The long early labors are when the baby's on the right. So what happens is as that baby is figuring out, it's like a key in a lock. A lot of people have heard me say that before. Once the key is in the lock, the door will open. But a lot of times if you're trying to jam that key in, it's not really working, right? So prodromal labor, or early, long early labor, is this baby trying to rotate, trying to get the key in the proper position in the lock. And it's doing all this maneuvering. And each time the baby moves around, a lot of moms that are having prodromal labor will say, oh my gosh, my contractions are so close together. And the baby's moving like crazy, right? Because they're often confusing an actual big, good contraction with fetal movement. Because when the baby's moving around, it causes this irritable uterus, and you can't identify, is it a contraction? Is it the baby moving? And then you start to get tired, and it's through the night, and you haven't slept, and so your pain tolerance starts to go down, and you start to lose oomph, and it's really hard to make it through a long early labor. But what you have to remember is this baby has to ultimately, if it's on the right side, has to ultimately rotate around clockwise to come through the pelvis. Because what happens in labor is the uterus, when it's contracting, is also torquing clockwise. So babies don't rotate from the right side to the front in general. They don't. They go, because we have gallbladder and liver and we have organs there in the front. So the babies can't make that rotation counterclockwise. I was going to say anti-clockwise. They can't make the rotation counterclockwise, because as the uterus is contracting, it's torquing and it's helping the baby rotate around in a clockwise position to come through. So the biggest stumbling block for our first-time moms is this long early labor. And what we try to coach people through on the phone, so when you're having a baby with us, you have our cell phone numbers, and there's always a midwife that's going to answer the phone whenever you call. So you call in the night and say, okay, oh my gosh, my contractions are every, 4 minutes, and they're lasting 2 minutes, and I'm not having a break. And I talk on the phone, and I'm like, okay, so you'll have a strong one, and then maybe 2 minutes later, you'll have a little what we call an aftershock. That one doesn't count. And then another big one. So when I'm talking to the mom on the phone, and I'm processing what's going on for her, I can often say, okay, no, these are 6 minutes apart. They're really only lasting 30 seconds. So why do moms think they're lasting so long? The analogy I use for that is, imagine you're working out with weights, right? So you have a 5-pound and a 10-pound dumbbell in front of you. So with a contraction for a first-time mom, because you don't know what a big, big contraction at 8 centimeters feels like yet, because you've never done it. So imagine you're working out and you have a 5-pound and a 10-pound. So you go up to the 5-pound and you're kind of engaging that muscle, right? You're engaging the bicep, but you're not yet in a full lift of that weight. So you're thinking about, do I want to do a 5-pound? No, I don't want to do that one. Do I want to do a 10-pound? Maybe. Yeah, I'll do the 10-pound. So you engage the muscle and not quite fully engaged yet. And then you decide to do the lift of the weight. That's the beginning of the contraction. And then you lift it and it's working to the peak, right? Where your bicep is at its maximum workout moment, right? The peak. And then you decide, I'm going to let it go. And then you put it down. Now you're no longer working that muscle, right? If you're lifting up a dumbbell. But that muscle is sort of warm and tingly, and you can feel that you work that muscle, but it's no longer contracted. It's the same thing what happens in labor, is in those early labor times, the uterus is going, I think I'm going to contract. I think I'm going to contract. And the baby's moving and it's causing this low level tension in the uterus. And then it builds and it peaks. And then as soon as it peaks, every breath after the peak, the contraction is releasing and it's getting easier and easier. But we don't identify that because we have all kinds of feelings going on in our body. And as the contraction is over, you still have this ache in your back, right? Because the baby is hitting, the back of the baby's head is hitting up against your sacrum. So when the contraction is over, you just have sort of this throbbing back pain. Now, and so that's where the sensation is, oh my gosh, the contraction is never ending. It is. So you have to be able to get to that place that you can identify the work of the contraction. And as soon as it starts to release, you have to tell yourself in your head, this contraction is over. This contraction is over, right? Labor is 99% mental. As soon as you can wrap your head around what those feelings are and what the contraction is really doing, you can pace yourself better. So what happens with these long early labors, especially for first timers, it doesn't happen so much with second or subsequent people because you're occupied with your toddlers generally, right? So you're feeling these contractions, but you can't pay attention because you got to cook dinner. You have to do bath time. You have to read a book. You got to get your kid to bed. So you're not paying attention to those early labor signs because you remember the first time, oh yeah, these are going to get way stronger. So you often don't, you just don't pay attention and you keep moving, right? Those people that already have older children, you have to keep moving throughout the evening because you got to get all your things done because you know you're going to have a baby, right? So you're cleaning up the kitchen, you're packing your bag, you're getting your kids to bed, and all of that activity is actually helping your baby rotate. And then by the time you're so tired and you fall into bed, now you might be kicking into an active labor pattern. But for a first-time mom, we start paying attention to the smallest sensation and we start timing these contractions too early. And we let our family members know, I'm in labor, things are happening. So then everyone is watching their watch, right? They're looking at the clock and they're starting to get very nervous. Why is this taking so long? You've been doing this all night. You should be doing whatever. You should be this far along. These contractions shouldn't be that strong. Oh my gosh, the baby's about to be born. And then we check you and you're 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters, and it's very defeating. So the number one thing you want to do with this baby, and hopefully your care provider, if you're with a midwife, she's probably palpating your belly, right? And she's able to identify, oh yeah, externally, here's the head, here's the back, here are the feet. There's a great website we refer to often called spinningbabies.com. Talks about optimal fetal positioning and baby mapping. So you should kind of have an idea before you go into labor what position that baby's in. So if the baby's on the right side, you're going to feel the bulk of the baby on the right and you're going to get little pokes underneath your left rib, right? That's an indication the baby is on the right side. Or you're going to get all kinds of crazy movement in the front, right? Because the baby's kicking and moving all across the front of your belly. Your belly will also, if you have a posterior baby, will have a shape, we call it a saucer belly. So it'll be lumpy, a big round lump, and then sort of caved in at the bottom below your belly button. So a lump on top and then kind of caved in. And if you go to that spinning baby site and look up belly mapping, it does a really good job of explaining how you can identify what position your baby's in. So you have to remember for first time people that this baby, we want this baby to rotate into an optimal position. We don't necessarily want you to have a lot of contractions. We want you to be getting on hands and knees to help rotate the baby. We want you resting smart, so getting some sleep. We often tell our first timers in the middle of the night, if they're really having a hard time, to take some Benadryl. Benadryl is just sort of makes you drowsy. And take a hot bath with Epsom salts and lavender. Take a dose of Benadryl, call your care provider before you do that. So our clients call us and then we give them instructions. Our goal is to try to get you to rest in between these contractions so you don't exhaust yourself. The number one reason we transport at our birth center is for fetal malposition and maternal exhaustion. So remember, we want this baby ultimately to rotate to the left side. That can happen with upright positioning, walking, hands and knees, rebozo, sitting on a birth ball, anything leaning forward. If your contractions are irregular, They are 3 to 10 minutes apart, bouncing around. It's early labor. Optimal fetal position is critical. You want your baby to rotate to the left side. And then once they're in that left side, they're going to come through that pelvis easily and rotate and come on out. So the takeaways are, birth is 99% mental. You're never as far along as you think you are. Always think you're 2 centimeters. You're never going to miss birth if it's your first. You're never going to miss it. The baby has to rotate to an optimal position to make it through this pelvis in an easy way. So you want to try to get that baby into that position before you go into labor. So check out that Spinning Babies website. Also, milescircuit.com is another really good site, really succinct on positioning to get that baby in an optimal position. Early labor is 0 to 6 centimeters. That can take a super duper crazy long time. So if you go and you're checked and you're 3 centimeters, wherever, if you're going to a birth center or you're going to a hospital or your midwife comes to your house and you're 3, everybody should go home. Everybody should go to sleep. We're not having a baby anytime soon, most likely, right? We need this baby to rotate. And once you get to that 6 centimeter mark, hopefully things will take off and you'll have an uneventful vaginal delivery. And sometimes those babies don't rotate no matter what you do, and it's just the way it is. And sometimes you need to have a C-section because they just never made that rotation, so they couldn't fit optimally through the pelvis. We just did a VBAC, a vaginal birth after cesarean. First time mom, first baby, spontaneous labor, was having the baby in the hospital, and there was no fault of anyone. It was a just classic posterior position. She arrested at 6 centimeters. The heart rate went down and she had to have a C-section. Absolutely 100% appropriate. And it wasn't anybody's fault. Nobody forced her into labor. It was a spontaneous labor. Second baby, the baby was on the proper side. She spontaneously went into labor. She delivered uneventfully, fairly quickly, and exact same size baby, just in an optimal position. So sometimes going in and getting an epidural because of a suboptimal position is really appropriate and can be really helpful and get you relaxed enough where the baby can rotate, but sometimes they just don't. And 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago now, we had 2 babies in a row that just got stuck and they couldn't make that rotation, and both of those moms needed to have C-sections. And as unfortunate as that is, we're very thankful that we have a great team of people that we can work with at our local hospitals, and those babies were born. And no one did anything wrong, right? Just because you have a C-section doesn't mean you did anything wrong. It's just sometimes that's how babies need to be born. And it's really hard for them to make that rotation. So we want you to be proactive prenatally, chiropractic care, massage, acupuncture, walking every day for an hour, being aware of what position that baby's in so that ideally when you go into labor, it's in an optimal position. So I hope that's helpful. If you have any questions or comments about how your labor went, anything that you did that helped those babies rotate or they didn't rotate and what your experience was, we'd love to hear about it. So thanks for joining us. You can check us out on Instagram. SCV Birth is our Instagram account. And we are on iTunes, so you can follow us and do all those great things. Leave comments, and we'll see you next week.